So we have one Democrat today officially announcing that he's doing exactly what we know he's obviously been doing for months, running for president. And now Wesley Clark has essentially announced that tomorrow he will announce his candidacy formally. Joining us is E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution. You want to make a formal declaration or just answer questions?
Friends and fellow Americans, yes.
What is it with the formal announcements, which we've seen from Edwards earlier? Kerry did this. We know he's running. What's entailed in a formal announcement?
You know, this used to be a stately sort of thing that candidates would go often in the Senate caucus room. That's where John F. Kennedy did it back in 1960. And the announcement actually meant something. Now campaigns are so long that candidates announce that they will announce that they will announce eventually. And then they announce again. And they've also become, obviously, ways of getting mass media. They tend to do announcement tours. They tend to visit certain TV shows. So it's become a gimmick to get coverage, but these guys have to struggle for coverage, so why not?
Is there any change in legal status at all with elections rules or when you announce formally?
You basically have to fill out the form at the FEC so that the announcement could have some effect on media time, but I think once you file that form at the FEC, which you have to do to start raising money, and all these folks have already started raising money, I think that's the key event.
But you get one day all over cable television when you do this.
You pray, if you're lucky.
Now, what do you make of the Wes Clark phenomenon, of the general entering the field?
Well, you know, we heard all those generals who were running. Wes Clark's role model is probably not Winfield Scott or Winfield Scott Hancock. Sometimes they win and sometimes they lose. I think he has an opening because, and you've heard it on many news shows over and over, a lot of Democrats are not passionate about any of these candidates, with the exception of Howard Dean, who's built up a real passionate constituency. Oddly, Clark seems to have built up a similar online constituency. He probably has the biggest online presence. And Democrats are also excited because they are the party that over and over again has been trashed as being allegedly soft on national defense, and that it ought to be normal to be a patriotic Democrat who served in the armed forces. That's especially important after 9/11, and it would be a nice contrast with President Bush, who was in the National Guard but did not serve in the armed forces. So Democrats want Clark to work. It's reminding me of the woman who always wanted to go out with Mick Jagger and finally did and said he's great, but he's not Mick Jagger. We're going to find out in the next month if Wesley Clark really is Wesley Clark.
Well, we'll have to ask him about that comparison at some point. What does it say about the length of the presidential campaign that Wes Clark can arrive on the scene so late in the game and yet, you know, still be probably a contender at this point?
By old standards, this is still early. If I recall, John Kennedy didn't make his announcement until the beginning of the election year. I don't think Bill Clinton got into the 92 race until around this time. The calendar seems to speed up at certain moments, especially when your party is out of the White House and people decide they need to jockey for position. And, you know, I'd say that this was too late for Clark if it was clear that somebody in this field had really grabbed hold. But as I say, except for Dean, there seems to be a large opening out there.
I was just curious to hear what you thought about this rather unusual step by Senator Edwards that we just heard Adam tell us about, which was the decision not to seek re-election to the Senate. Somebody actually walking away from a seat, or at least a good chance at re-election to a seat in the United States Senate.
Well, obviously, you wonder how happy he was in the U.S. Senate. But I think politically, if his real ambition is to be president, the worst possible thing would be to fall behind in the presidential race, then run for his Senate seat and lose. So if his ambition is to be president, he might as well give everything he has to this. And he probably has an opening for a political career later. If he had lost that Senate seat, it was going to be a very tough fight. He would have had a very difficult time.
Thank you, E.J.
Thank you. Very good to be with you.
E.J. Dionne, columnist for The Washington Post and also a fellow at the Brookings Institution, speaking to us here on All Things Considered.